Actually, Brother Randy, that was the perfect selection. That fits really well with the lesson. The truth is that the gospel is for all. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And we're going to beginning at verse 5, reading on through to verse 15. Matthew, chapter 10. And verses 5 through 15. Jesus has called or selected the 12 disciples. And he's going to send these 12 out to preach the kingdom. And in verse 5, as we begin to read, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics or sandals nor staves, for a worker is worthy of his food. Whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." I'd like to talk briefly tonight about the idea of preaching the gospel, but in a little twist. You know, that's what we've been called to do. Our command from Jesus in the New Testament isn't to go out to the house of Israel, but to go into all nations. That's what Jesus commanded the New Testament Christians. They are to go into all the nations and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I want you to understand that word make. That doesn't imply twist their arm and make them confess. It doesn't say that at all. The making comes from their hearing the Word of God and believing that Word and then obeying that Word. It's really all over here in their court. So Jesus isn't saying, you know, tie them up, start a fire under their feet, and when they confess, go ahead and put out the fire. He says, make disciples, meaning you go out, you preach the kingdom, salvation in Christ, and then they decide. And the fact is, it's their decision. And so, as we think about this, we do realize that once you preach the gospel, it's up to them whether or not they're going to listen. And sometimes, as Jesus gave a commandment for his original 12, you have to dust off your feet. It's a hard thing to do, but it is something that has a positive effect in some people's lives. And in some people, because of their hardened heart, it won't make any difference anyway. They suffer the consequences of their decision. Our job is to relay the truth, to be the light of the world, as we talked this morning. Our job is to let people see God's goodness in us and to preach the truth of the gospel, that if you're in sin, you need the blood of Christ to cleanse that sin. It's that simple. And so, the gospel is for all. There's no question about that at all. But really, the question we want to consider this evening isn't so much that the gospel is for all, but when do we shake off the dust of our feet? At what point in time is that? And the first point in time that I want to bring up is when they refuse. They simply refuse the gospel. You know, the first step in reaching someone for the sake of Christ is that they need to hear the gospel. They need to grow in their faith. We've all heard Romans 10 and 17. Listen, Acts chapter 11 and verse 14 is a very typical verse. That has to do with Cornelius and his household and what the Spirit told Peter or Cornelius he had to do. He had to call for Peter, and Peter was going to come, and he was going to tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Now, fortunately, in Peter's, Cornelius's case, they heard the word, they believed the word, and eventually they were all baptized. And so there was a really good ending there. Peter had no reason to leave. The question is, what is it that the people need to hear? And we know that. Well, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at verses 18 through 24. Just read a few verses tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Remember here that Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. There's confusion about who's baptized into who. And Paul's really condemning them because there's only one baptism. They weren't baptized into Paul. They weren't baptized into anyone else. They were obviously baptized into Christ. And Paul makes that very, very clear in verse 17. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And listen to what he says. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We think about those who are called. You know, when you preach the gospel to people, it's the gospel that's doing the calling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul writes, to which he called you by our gospel. For the obtaining of glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel does. We hear the word of God, and the word of God is the power that draws us to God. If that's not going to do it, nothing really will. Romans 10 and 17 says faith comes by hearing, and if we refuse to hear, we can't possibly have faith. And so the bottom line here is, when one is unwilling to listen, there is no hope. And so let's keep that in mind. That's a time when you dust off the dust, the wipe, dust the take the dust off your feet. You shake the dust off your feet. That's when you do that. One time is when people are just unwilling to listen. And I want to preface this in the rest of the lesson with the idea that, you know, I don't think Jesus nor I am insinuating that when you preach the gospel to somebody and they just don't listen at that point in time, that they're eternally lost and will never ever be saved. Because we all know that sometimes you preach the gospel to somebody and they say, I'm done, I don't want to hear it, I'm gone. And a year later you get a phone call, you know, and we've heard all talked about the Ballingers down in Kissimmee. They didn't want to hear it. They sent me out of their house, and for weeks I heard nothing. And then one day I got a phone call. We want you to come back. And so it can happen. A week, a year, 2 years. And so I'm not saying that people who are unwilling to talk, or listen rather, that there's no hope, meaning they could never be saved. That's not true. Some people will hear, they won't listen, and then later they'll say, okay, I've thought about this for the last 3 years and I want to hear some more. So it is possible. And so the idea of dusting off your feet, though, is we're told to redeem the time. Time is a very precious, valuable thing. And if you want to go to somebody's home and just over and over for years and years, just spend hours talking to them, and that's fine, but that's not what Jesus wants. If they're not going to listen, dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. And so the second reason why we would dust off our feet is when they ignore what you teach. In other words, you've made it very, very clear that this is the gospel, this is Jesus Christ, this is where salvation is, and they just totally ignore you. And we think about that. It's their choice whether they're going to listen or not listen. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 10 verses 24 through 26. John chapter 10 verse 24 through 26. And read that with me. This is a place where, Jesus, in John chapter 10, Jesus has been talking, he's been doing miracles, and the people are surrounding him, it says, and they said to him, verse 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? When you read this, understand, the book of John tells us that the Jews would have been present and or heard about John chapter 2 where Jesus turned water into wine. They would have been there or been privy to the knowledge in John chapter 4 that Jesus healed a nobleman's son. Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. In John chapter 6, Jesus walks on the water. He fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish. The blind man received his sight in John chapter 9. And if we're just to take a few of those, these Jews, they just ignored all of that. All those miracles and signs, all the wonders, they just ignored it. And as we read this, you know, it's just amazing. The Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? Where's the doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus said to them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I have said. You see, there's people that just, they'll hear it. And they'll actually, you could even give some biblical or secular proof, but they'll ignore that. And listen, when you think about them ignoring, fear is not an excuse or it's not a reason for ignoring the truth. It's a poor reason to give up eternal life. And you think about that in John chapter 7, in verse 13, the people are complaining. They take the things that Jesus has said, and some people are complaining, some people are saying it's good, and some people are, you know, they say, oh, he's just deceiving the people. And in that particular text, verse 13, it says, however, no one spoke openly of him. Why? For fear of the Jews. No one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. That's a pretty rotten excuse. And yet in our time today, that happens a lot. In our time today, there's so much confusion about right and wrong. There's so much confusion about black and white. And I don't mean skin color. I just mean that whether it's actually true or false. There's just so much confusion in the world today that people are afraid to make a choice. And so they ignore what they hear, they ignore what they've been taught. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they never confessed him. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. And again, the same thing is true in the society we have, the way young people have been brought up. They don't even want to talk about Jesus. They're afraid of their peers more than they are of the truth. And so we need to recognize that. We saw a clip, and I don't want to go on and on, but we saw a clip where somebody was off, a man would walk up to a people and say, if I gave you $1 billion or eternal life with Jesus, which one would you pick? And most people took the $1 billion. A few people said eternal life. Something's clicked. But it's just that way. People are focused on material things. They're focused on their peers and their friends. And so they make excuses and they're afraid of the truth. And so when one refuses the word, we have nothing left to offer. So dust off your feet, shake the dust off your feet and move on to another person. Again, that person could come back to you. They could call you later, leave the door open, but you just move on to someone else. This is all good practice when you're evangelizing. Another reason is when discussion becomes fighting, debating is acceptable. Right? Look over at Acts chapter 15 with me. Acts chapter 15 in Antioch. And we want to read just the first two verses. Acts chapter 15. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about the question. And so they sent them on their way. They had a difference of opinion. Barnabas and Paul had a small dissension. They disagreed wholeheartedly, but it didn't cause any split. It caused them to just send them up to Jerusalem. They wanted to come to a conclusion. And so debating back and forth is actually not a bad thing. When we talk about elders in Titus chapter 1, the qualifications of an elder, if you'll look there with me, Titus chapter 1, page 1369, Titus chapter 1, and just verses 9 through 11, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. This is how an elder must be, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who are who contradict. And so there's nothing wrong with discussing with people, even having a difference of opinion. But you need to be founded in the Word of God so that, that when the time comes, you'll be able, with sound doctrine, that's the Word of God, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. And he goes on there to say, for there are many subordinate, both idle talkers, insubordinate rather, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. And so it's nothing wrong with a discussion, debating back and forth, but when it gets to a point where it's fruitless discussion, it's a time to end the discussion. And that's what Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7, Paul writes, I urged you when I went out to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. And then he goes on there and he says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And so there is a time when people, they get into this idle babbling, endless genealogies, disputes. They're not looking to edify in any godly way. And it's a time to shake off the dust of your feet. And the real question is why? And if you go over a little bit to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 26, Paul makes it very clear of Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. That's why you don't get into those back and forth debates, and especially when people are using a Bible verse to prove the other Bible verse is wrong and vice versa. It just goes nowhere. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And so when there's a lot of quarreling going on, shake off the dust of your feet. Give it a chance to calm down. You can always make a contact later, but if the people just want to continue that route, there's no reason even to talk. When one blasphemes and speaks evil, you know, Paul had to deal with this. You look at Paul and blasphemy that he had to stop in Antioch, Acts chapter 13. We look at Acts chapter 13 with me, verses 45 through 48. And here's what we read. Beginning at verse 45, we read that, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Now, opposing the things spoken by Paul is kind of an oxymoron when you talk about blaspheming, or synonym, I guess you would say, because they're the same thing. Because Paul's preaching the truth. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching Jesus Christ crucified. And anything that opposes that is blasphemy. Speaking against the Holy Spirit, against the things that are of God. And then in verse 46, he says, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, you look at that next verse. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spread. And so when people are blaspheming, when they're speaking evil things against God, it's time to shake the dust off your feet. In Acts chapter 19, we'll look at that. In Acts chapter 19, and we're going over to verses 8 through 10. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, Paul, and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So when the people began to speak evil of the way, what is the way? The gospel, the word of God, the way of Christ, to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess Christ and be baptized and be a part of the glorious kingdom here upon the earth. And when people do that, you know, when one reaches the state where they are no longer seeking truth, it's time to dust off your feet. And also look at the idea of stirring persecution. Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against these people. And the discipline, or rather the disciples in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, they were being persecuted. You look over here at Acts chapter 8. In verses 1 through, and it says, now when Saul was consenting to his death, that's the death of Stephen, at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging men and women off and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And so that's what happens when persecution arises. You dust off your feet, even in an entire city. And listen, there are times when disciplines will face persecution. Look over 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Peter says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God as in the matter. And so there's times when persecution comes and you just have to put up with it. But there are times when it gets too much and there's a way out, then we take that way out. Escaping and moving on is not wrong. And so those are the ways in which we think about a time to shake off the dust of my feet. When is the time to stop? When people don't listen? When people blaspheme or speak evil? When people are literally contrary and argumentative? Just dust off your feet and move on. Pray that that person will have a change of heart, that the word of God planted in their heart by one and watered by another might bring forth a fruit. But those are reasons why we can shake off the dust of our feet. And I hope that helps, because evangelism is something we're all called to do. One day, Jesus will come and shake the dust off of his feet. And I don't think that's going to be a good thing. We understand that Jesus will one day come and he will separate the nations, those who do believe and those who do not believe, those who have done good and those who have done evil. And that's a day in which, unfortunately, the dust against them will send them into eternal separation from God. in John chapter 12, verse 37 through 41. We're going to read two more verses and the lesson will be yours. John chapter 12, 37 through 41. Again, we're talking about Jesus here, but although he, Jesus, had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah again said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, and spoke to him. One more in John chapter 12, we're looking at verses 46 through 48. Jesus says, I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. There is no reason at all to walk in the darkness, to walk in the lewdness and the sinfulness of this world. There's no reason at all to be separated from the goodness of Jesus. And Jesus makes that clear. In verse 47, and if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The real question tonight is, are you listening? There's no question that Jesus was real. There's no question that he came into the world. And there's no question that his purpose was to seek and save that which is lost. First, the Jews who rejected him, whose hearts were hardened. And then the rest of the Gentile world. Both Jew and Gentile can be saved. You can be saved this night. And the real answer is simply what he said. We believe the words. Don't reject his words. Hear the gospel. Believe what you hear, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That salvation comes through his blood and his blood alone. Then recognize yourself as a sinner. I'd be hard-pressed to meet somebody, and I have met people, but it's very few and in between that said, I've never done anything that bad. Doesn't have to be that bad. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. So we confess that. We repent of our sin, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and then we're baptized into Christ. If you have a need for that this night, I hope you come forward and do what you know is right, as we stand and as we sing.